Let me see. In a previous lifetime, about 600 years ago, the last time I talked to Joy. No, it's not that long, but it's been a while. She's been busy.
It has. And so have you.
And it's nice to talk to you again. Boy, you were going to move to Arizona last I heard from you, right?
Yep, I was. And that didn't happen.
And then you watched the Arizona Cardinals football team, and you said, no, I'm going to stay here in Pennsylvania. No, you don't watch football, I know. And so that didn't, something told you to stay where you're at, right?
Yeah. Everything just kept pointing that way. Every time I thought I had everything set up, one thing that would happen that would can it. And it must have happened 50 times. So I finally said, okay, all right, I get the message, universe. And then after I was here a couple of weeks, the kids that I work with really showed me how much a safe house is needed in this area first.
So that's what you're working on. That and many other things, I'm sure, but that's one of the things you're working on, right?
Yes, yes, it is. It is. Well, I think safe houses for kids are needed everywhere, but once you connect with a group of them, they really push for it on a soul level. I can feel it. And I've seen, well, in Pennsylvania, I think I shared this before, but in Pennsylvania last year, 42,000 calls to children and youth went unheard. And now they're saying that, you know, they've really started spoofing it up. But from what I've seen with the kids I've been working with, I don't think so. I have seen them turn down kids with marks and they won't investigate. And, you know, I heard a story of one little girl whose dad pushed her so hard she had bruises all over her. And when they called children and youth, they said, well, that's not abuse. And I started thinking, yeah, I guess if I push you off a building, that's not murder either, you know. So I was kind of very irritated by that. And this is just one family of many that I have seen struggling with things. But, you know, it's the kids, but it's not just the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's what our consciousness is doing right now. There are levels of aggression and things like that that people are dealing with like never before. And in my understanding of spirit and creation energy, I do understand that there's a death and a rebirth going on simultaneously. And the world you live in is the one you give credence to. But I think we have a choice, no matter what world we live in, to decide how graceful the death will be for others. And I think that a lot of times that is what we're making choices concerning anything with the system, how gracefully the death will be. So that's
so
my
we
20
are.
Cents.
Well, that's more than 20 cents, and I'm going to give you some change back from that. No, actually, I'm going to, I don't know what I'm going to do. Anyway, but, you know, it's this great shift we're going through. That's, all these energies are coming to the planet. People are, if they're not grounded, we've talked about this, in more chaos than ever before. But it's part of what has to happen, and it's happening. And we don't know how long it's going to take, but it's a process. And I also say none of us, this is not by accident. All of mm-hmm. us know, regardless of whatever our purpose is, you know, everybody's mm-hmm. got a different purpose. Not everybody's here to wake up and maybe be a part of it. Maybe somebody just came here to take up space on the planet. Maybe that was their goal in this lifetime, Joy. I'm just going to go down there and sit, you know, and take up space. Mm-hmm. And I think you're entitled to do whatever you want to do in your lifetime. But most of us are aware that this is changing, and most of us, we're certainly here now at this time. Many of us, even though it doesn't appear that way because of all the garbage going on, we're really excited to be here, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we definitely chose this, and it's interesting in my communication with a lot of light workers you know, how we're all involved down here. A lot of us were spreading the light, and that goes for you, too. I have seen, you know, almost like a dread that has come up for waves of people. And I heard, it was interesting, after the election, I got very, very clearly that this is when the real work starts. And this is beyond politics. This isn't about who you voted for. It's really about human dignity and how we choose to live here, you know, how we honor each other. And whether I feel, yes, we all have a right to choose. And those that suffer as a result of, you know, disrespect or abuse or that kind of thing, and there's a lot of things around that. I have some, since I talked to you last, I got some heavy-duty takes on a few things. I think I just want to share this. They said that it was women that got Trump in. And I now remember, I'm not talking politically. What I'm talking about is the consciousness and how the divine feminine works, okay? Mm-hmm. But what has happened because of the stories and the allegations against him, I've made note and have been kind of told that any woman who dealt with any kind of abuse or anything was triggered through his getting in office. So there's a very strong, the word I want to use, sense of injustice that is happening mm-hmm. with a majority of women. And the ones that never healed their abuse didn't hear the allegations and just gave their power up. And that's what they've done with their abusers. So, you know, when I step back and I want to take him at Trump out of the picture, because he's really only somebody who is symbolic of a point of what the consciousness is calling to come up to shift.
And not only that, Joy, but in his highest place, he's no different than you and I. And maybe
absolutely.
He volunteered, and maybe he volunteered for all this.
He did. And I have no qualms about that. Okay, these are the issues on the planet that are really needing to heal. So the women that have never fully gathered their power or stood in their power are, I seem in my sense, are coming up to start to gather their power. And it's interesting, the people that call for sessions and that kind of thing, I've seen this weaving in. I've seen it. I'm watching what the women around me are doing. I am surrounded by some very powerful women, and I'm surrounded by some very unhealed, wounded women, too, because I work with, you know, women in different ways. But it's very, very interesting because the ones that are wounded, part of the wounding is living in a state of denial. So they have every right to choose what they choose, but it's very interesting. What I have seen is there are justifications and defending of behaviors and things that people have said that he's been involved with. In the reality of the whole situation, more than anything, just like we need to open our heart with the women, we need to open our heart with him and the rest of the government officials. Now, that's not, for a lot of people, a very popular way of looking at that.
You're not going to win a lot of friends that way.
But that's not what I'm here for, you know. I'm really, really feeling that, and I, for a long time, you know, I have been saying the way we need to heal violence is to heal the perpetrators. And that goes for any kind of violence or any kind of abuse. We need to heal them because that is where it flourishes from. You know, that's what seeds it.
Right.
So, yeah, so I actually have a process which can be used with anyone, a perpetrator, somebody who plays the victim role, somebody who's martyr, I don't care who they are. But this process is intended to heal the consciousness. It's called the Flame of Grace, and at some point during our call, I'd like to take you and those of our listeners that want to experience it through it. Excuse me. Okay.
As long as I can go to another dimension, I'm all in favor of it, you know.
Oh, honey, it's always another dimension.
I want to go to this some multidimensional universe. That would be great, you know.
As you say that, I swear I'm sitting here and I'm seeing waves and waves of rainbows, you know. That's a very good intention. You want to go there, you're going to get there.
Cool.
You know?
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, like you were saying about whether it was Donald and Hillary, and people were so split, and, you know, and a lot of things are done in order to create fear. And they give you choices that make you afraid on both sides. And we really haven't had anybody truly represent the people in a long time. And so this is something that has to change. So some of you will hear us talk about Donald Trump and you'll be upset with us for saying things. Some of us will hear you maybe us say something about Hillary and you'll be upset about that. And I just look at it as they both would be puppets under the old system. And it's going to take great courage for somebody to step up, and maybe Bernie Sanders might have done that because he talked about those things. But that's not even the main thing. We have to have this crumble. It's going to have to change, and the only way that's going to happen is when you have these type of people in there. Look at how many people are waking up. I just see this great, you know, with Bernie Sanders movement, look at how many people woke up from that. And then also, yeah. I think even with Trump, yeah, there were people that were, you know, he might have some people that are kind of obnoxious like him because they follow that. But I think there were a lot of people that were just fed up with the government and they wanted to elect somebody that wasn't a politician. That's a bigger message, I think, that was being sent as well.
Well, I think that that's true. Yeah. So go ahead.
And so I believe that we are to the point, and only we can make these people accountable, where we have to stand up and say, that's enough of this. We don't want it anymore. And when enough of us unite, then that's when, and not only physically unite, but unite consciously. And that's what you're doing with your movement, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And it's really, it's a global movement as much as, you know.
Right.
I feel
because the whole world
that
is.
I try to nurture that, but it's a global movement. And, you know, what you're saying, it was interesting. The day after the election, I walked in the library, and the first thing that came out of my mouth connected to the election was, the power is in our hands. It's not in anyone else's. It's in our hands. It doesn't matter who we vote for. People can change their mind, you know. It's in our hands. And that's where we have an opportunity to co-create a new world. Whatever that looks like, I think everyone, and the ones with no names through flow and different things I've seen have said that, you know, the seeds of heaven on earth are inside of us all. So we all have some connection to that new world, that visionary world that we have an opportunity to live here, if we get still here and pay attention to the inside of us instead of all the chaos outside of us. We can hear it. We can see it. I do have to say the chaos outside of us is very, very loud right now, too, though. It's kind of like the good intentions we have for a long time were enough. Now we need to expand, we need to keep our good intentions and expand our light and strengthen our fields and work with levels of protection because, yes, you know, the world we live in is the one we choose, and to do that and maintain it vibrationally, our field or our light has to be expanded and strong. So it's really important that we acknowledge our light every day and that I have exercises I do when I sleep, which I'll share. And one of them is when I lay down, I imagine myself going into the great heart of the One, and I'll say things like, I am living the resolution to all conflicts. And while I'm there and I'm sleeping, I start to integrate that. You see, when you wake up the next day, you wake up with the thoughts that you go to sleep with. So it seems important to utilize that quiet time in our dream time, too, now, you know. It's kind of like every ounce. Wherever you can find a moment, TJ.
And the thing is, what I've been feeling, too, in the last... It's funny that you're talking about this now. Not funny. It isn't funny, but I'm just saying that I've felt the need to become quieter and go within more and really start to take this more seriously. Yeah. And it's like a message I'm just receiving more and more. And so I start doing that more because, you know, it sure is easy to come home after work and turn on the TV. And of course, I don't like to watch negative things, but just even then, it's a distraction. Mm-hmm. Or if you get up in the morning, you put on the tube or whatever, radio or music. Mm-hmm. And I like silence. I really do. And I'm finding myself more and more sitting and contemplating what I want. And then even going to bed, just sending out love as I lay there to everyone and anyone. And I've also been thinking about like exactly what you said, Joy, just recently, connecting with Source, with God, with that presence of, I just think I'm going straight to that Source, straight to that presence, and I want that around me, and I want that to be a part of my life more and more and more. And you know, it's not that I don't want that, but you get into a habit, oh, okay, I got to go do this today, TJ's got to do a little work, blah, 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 and especially in the summer because I'm running around all the time so much. And now's a good time of year to slow down. Now, were you affected by this election? Did it affect you in a negative way?
I had, it was very interesting. Right after the election, I felt very, very balanced in what had happened. And I got very strongly what my hits were. I wound up watching it. And, you know, I kind of, when I sat down, I knew he was going to win when I sat down. And it was interesting because I've had visions for years that Hillary would get in office, but that shifted. And that's one of the things I'm noticing, too, is everything can change on a dime. But I stayed calm, and I was very calm for about a week and a half. And then through Thanksgiving, I like to say, I was visiting Republican land, and there were some irate Republicans with drinking issues, and that it was, I had an issue with that, and I left. It's not the election, because I get what's going on with that. What I have noticed is the importance of the people that have chosen sides and have separated how aggressive the energy is. And that's why, and when things like that happen, for me, I check in and I go, okay, here's a chance. I need to get stronger. And 9 out of 10 times, somebody will come and tell me something that happened to them, and I'll have the information I need to give to them. So I know there's always a reason. But that's, did I have an issue? Well, I had a preference, but I'm very aware.
I think a lot of people were afraid from either one getting elected. Some of the things that maybe were connected to, I'm just going to lay it on the table. They're both working for someone else. And
they are.
And neither one of them, in my opinion, truly would probably serve us. So if you're upset about one or the other not winning, I don't think if one or the other wins, there's a whole lot of difference. You know, that Trump was a Democrat till 8 years ago. There's also reports that Trump was convinced to run by Bill Clinton. Now, why would that be? And I would throw this out and say, when you run things, if you run things, and you want to win an election, you're going to put in the two people that you want so that you don't lose. Now, one might appear to be a certain way. One might appear to be another. In reality, when we look at the real truth of things, who's pulling the strings and who's calling the shots, it doesn't matter. So what can we do to change that? And I would say, furthermore, Trump had to get in because, like you said, I thought Hillary was going to win. And then now I realize, well, we're not going to have change, not true change, because people are going to see a lot of things with this guy. They're going to see a lot of things, and it's going to help them to have some true change. If Hillary got in, maybe wouldn't see some of those things that we need, that need to be brought forward. Is that what you're saying, Joe?
Yeah. Well, in a way, I think that what we may have with Trump is radical change. I feel like things will fall away. I feel like this is something I wanted to talk about, too, with you and our listeners. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
So, yes, it's such fun talking to you, TJ. So I feel like with the radical change, one of the things that I've known for a long time, the new systems are the nonprofits that are here to serve the people, the ones that are real. I'm not talking about, you know, money-making things. I'm talking about there's an integrity with the ones.
When you say money-making, I'm sorry, Joy, when you say money-making things, and we're not going to name names, but people don't realize, maybe they do, there are some very big organizations that call themselves nonprofit, and if you knew where the money went, and you and I talked about this before this conversation, if you knew how much of your dollar actually went to find a cure for a certain disease or maybe other things that are out there, you would probably no longer support some of these organizations. I know I don't.
Absolutely. Me either. I'm very aware, just because somebody looks like they're serving well and they have a big name and they're very visible, 9 out of 10 times those are the organizations that there's something shady going on. And I'm not going to name names either, but I had a situation that I thought was very interesting. I was coaching a woman, and in the soul coaching, the questions were put to her, okay, the monetary systems aren't there, the educational systems are gone, the religious systems became so chaotic, they're not there. You can't grow food with non-GMO seeds, so people are being poisoned. You start looking at all this, what do you do? What do you do? And it was very, very interesting because things started coming up like working cooperation with the nature spirits to grow food, right? What you do with the monetary system is shift to barter, right? There's an answer, and they're laid out. These answers are laid out. If there's health issues and there's alternative care, now it's interesting, sometimes the government wants to outlaw things, but, you know, you can do things through word of mouth, and if something is linked to a nonprofit, it gives it some sustainability. So there are doors through nonprofits that will have more stability than our systems. you know, the shifting of the systems isn't just what's going on in the government. It's also linked to earth changes. The town I live in once, it was flooded, and the whole town had to shut down. We had no grocery store. We had no bank. There was no way to get anywhere. The whole town smelled like gasoline. So, you know, and we had to work that through, you know. So there are things like that that are happening. And I think you don't approach it out of fear because that feeds it. But there are certain things that can be done to keep the frequency up and keep you out of fear. You know, one of the things, if you find yourself in the fear of what's going on in the world, and you're looking at these things that are going on, and you feel like the government isn't stepping up, and this isn't stepping up, raise your frequency, play, have fun, because once you do that, creative thoughts come, your connection to source grows, you have the energy you need to start to sustain yourself.
You know,
when in doubt, laugh.
Right.
You know?
I was going to say
because
that.
It's really all a dream and a divine comedy. Shakespeare used to say that. It's all a divine comedy. You
exactly.
Know?
Mm-hmm. And when you're at work and you can't maybe play, here's a good example of what happened today at the radio station. You know Sally, you know Heidi. I don't know if you know Amy, but you talked to
a couple.
Well, Heidi, she put up the tree, and she's a little picky about that, I mean, in a nice way. And so Amy and Sally decided to mess with her because they knew what they call her ADD, and she would get really upset about it. So they, and then they got me involved, and we were doing all these. I put Trump's picture on the star, and I put Hillary's picture on one of the bulbs, and we just had a good time with it. And it got them laughing and in such a good mood and raising their vibration. And I think even when you're at work, you find those moments of acting like a kid and acting a little silly. They are such so good for you, and you think, well, how can I do that? Your mind can go whatever direction it wants. As far as I know, they haven't been able to control that yet, although they're trying. So you have the ability to go wherever you want, whenever you want, and nobody can stop that.
That's true.
So there's places now, where you may not be able to go around and act silly and jump around and do things.
Yes. But I want to tell you a story on that end, which I think is adorable, okay? And this is one of the areas where I get my laughter in, one of them, along with you, right?
Right.
I have a friend who has a five-year-old daughter, and her mom is metaphysical and her dad is Catholic. And the little five-year-old said that she wanted Hillary to win. And her mom said, "How come?" And she said, "Well, I want a female president. I want a woman president." Little five-year-old, right? And her dad comes up and starts to tell her the reasons why Hillary shouldn't get in. Most Catholics didn't want Hillary, you know? So the little girl decided to go and gather her little five-year-old girlfriends. And she did that, and she said to her mom, "Okay, we need to go and take the Trump signs down now." So I look at things like that. Whether you're for Trump or you're for Hillary, you know, right there, our future, at 5 years old, when they feel they have a mission, they're on it, you know? They're not afraid. What teachers, but they're hysterical in the things they do, you know?
Right.
I have a little 11-year-old, it's just really kind of funny now, 11-year-old nephew, and when I was down there at Christmas, like I said, I was in Republican land, and, you know, temporarily he's a Republican right now. So I said to him, "Draw me a picture for my refrigerator," and he draws me a picture of the Kyle Towers, you know, the Trump Towers. Well, his name is Kyle.
Okay.
So he's drawing me photos of the Kyle Towers now, you know. So these kids, you know, they have a way of expressing their power or their opinion already. And this is one of the things that, one of the reasons I feel like we need to hear them. These aren't just little fun things that they do. These are seeds that help foundation their future, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so many people do not listen to their kids. They forget that right there is the future. That is something, one of the reasons that when I look at the government, I know in my heart there's like death rattles in there, because I don't hear any energy going toward children at this point. Nothing. I haven't heard anybody saying, oh, we're going to open a thing that's going to advocate for the kids in the system. I haven't seen that. And Michelle Obama, whether people liked her or not, she fought for the kids, and that's not going to be there, you know? So that's what I mean. The power is in our hands, and how we nurture them is going to definitely affect our future, you know? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. You can't, like a friend of mine said, you can't fight fire with fire. You fight it with water. So you can't fight anything, negativity and hatred, with hatred. You fight it with love. That's the only thing you can fight it with. That's the only way to fight anything. And the more love we can express for those that are playing a role, which is what they're mm-hmm. doing, and understanding yeah. that role, and understanding our time in this, to be here in this position, to, you know, many of us have chosen to make a change to make this a better place. And this place has been, for a long time, it's been the other way. And that was allowed. It's not a bad thing, because there is no good or bad, really. It is just a course that we as beings have allowed to take place. We let somebody else take our power. And these beings have had control for a long time. And we've allowed it. We've been a part of it. Many of us, not all of us, that have come and gone many times. And now, you know, it's not going to change until enough of us say, okay, we want change. We truly want change, and through love.
Yeah.
And how do you yes. get those people on board? Well, you don't go door to door selling encyclopedias of love. You don't do that. You just put you live it every day. And I think that's the way I look at it. You have to live it every day, and the more you live it, and if people seek you out, you can share it a little bit, but mostly by when you get it and you live it, then another person will get it sooner or later and pick it up, and it continues to expand. And granted, doing shows like this and writing books, and those are other ways, but you can never force it on anybody, nor should you ever do that.
Well, along with what you're saying, all those things are key. Living it is important, because example is one of the strongest messages we can give. This process, too, that I have just started doing right before all this, called the Flame of Grace, actually works through a form of alchemy to meld away the violence in the consciousness. And doing this work, one of the things that I've just started to offer, like monthly free calls where people can phone in, and I will be training people so people can take the work out in the world, because, you know, anything that we can do that's going to help, you know, I feel like it's got to go out there, you know. But this is one process, and it's another way to keep the frequency up and to keep the heart vibrating in love, you know, and it's without analyzing or feeding into the chaos. It's not about what you say. It's just a simple alchemy process, you know. So I'm excited about that, and I found that it helps me as much as it helps anyone else, you know. It's pretty amazing, because that's kind of what we need to do, is we need to kind of put the reason why I think people are feeling driven to go to source is because the way we need to be fed is shifting. I mean, there's a deeper commitment in that now with the people, you know, that are conscious and awake. It's like, yep, I need to be fed more and more high vibration now because of the shift, you know. That's a piece of it, too. And you said it yourself. Every day you're driven to do more. So I think a lot of listeners are probably experiencing that, too. It's like, what do? You know, when in doubt, go to the source, you know, and remember working from the inside out. And I'm looking at our time. How much time do we have left here?
We still have another 25 minutes or so. So, you know, there's no...
Well, I was thinking if you're, okay, I'm just looking, this process, I figured it would take 15 minutes, and if you feel like it, maybe we could do that, and, you could give us some input, because you never had it done yet either, did you?
No, I haven't. So if you want to start, go ahead.
Yeah, if you're ready for a treat, okay? Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage everyone to shut their eyes and take some deep breaths. And remember, it's through the breath we connect with each other. So wherever you are, just breathing together is connecting us and creating a circle, a nice unified circle in the breath. And now over top of our heads, there's a flame. It's a flame of energy, and different people may experience it as different colors. It doesn't matter. It's whatever your soul knows the color to be. And that flame begins to descend over top of your head. And it touches into your brain where your thoughts are. And it starts to melt away any egoic reality-based system. Anything we live from ego that separates us from heart, soul, source, and oneness. Any thoughts that are rooted in hatred or violence inside of us. And that goes toward ourself, toward those we struggle with. Any patterns of judgment, self-recriminations, any patterns linked to control that guide us toward a self-serving outcome. Any pattern in our history that causes us to separate as flame continues to grow, as it melts away everything. And it comes down our body, it goes into our cells, into the DNA, and melts away any ideas we've had that come as a result of anger towards someone else. And that flame touches in deeper to the cells and the DNA in our body and starts to shift any patterns we took on of abuse, melts it away. Any agreement we made to forget our divinity that is linked through the DNA where our cells melt away. Breathe deep. Breathe deep. And feel the flame as it melts away any edginess in our personalities that cause us to create disharmony in some way. now feel the mold fall off you that you have lived in your life that is anything less than you truly are as the flame melts it away. It melts away the unconscious intentions and ideas that create separation. And feel what you're left with, the brilliant light you are. Remember you are that light. Now watch the flame as it moves in front of you. Look at how big it's gotten. And you are free to place someone in the flame that you struggle with, someone that may have deep issues to heal. It can be somebody you know personally, somebody that's linked to another organization around the world that you know needs to heal. It can be anyone. And you send them into the flame. And now watch. Watch as the flame touches in and melts away from them any unconscious desire to perpetrate violence or harm towards someone. Breathe deep and relax. And watch as the flame continues to melt away any ideology that creates separation and lack of humanity in this person. Watch as well the patterns that are unconscious in this person that cause them to believe that they are less than love and light, and that they create from that forgetfulness. Watch the flame melt it away. Watch that flame go deeper into the cells of that person. Even as the flame expands further around them, melting away any attachments, any entities, any outside influence that they have allowed in to control them in any way. Watch it leave. And as it does so, watch the flames spark the spaces and fill the spaces with grace. Breathe deeply now and watch as all patterns of amnesia are infused by the flame. And watch the grid of forgetfulness fall off this person. And watch the glimmer of a memory, a spark of light that they are, rise to the surface and enfold them. And now this person joins our circle, and the flame continues to grow and get bigger and bigger. And the flame goes out to anything in our systems, the religious systems, the monetary systems, the government systems, watch the flame grow. Anything linked to the systems that carry illusion, density, or dross. Watch the flame grow. And watch it drop around all those that we know of and don't know of. That create the chaos and separation through these systems in our country and globally. Breathe deep. And watch the patterns that create the self-serving decisions that forget the good of the whole be addressed in large groups. Watch that flame create a new grid through all the systems, everywhere. Watch the flame burn away anything that's out of integrity in the system. And if the system falls, watch it fall and see the sparks that arise from it. Watch the grid fall. See the flames start to spark. The memory of oneness in the souls as it melts away. The lack of integrity of behavior, thought, word, and deed. Watch all the interdimensional links that appear to have control over these systems that are not working for the good of the whole. Watch these bonds burn away from the hearts, the minds, and the souls of everyone who's involved in corruption and creates it. And watch the flame continue to burn away the sleep and unconscious states and the patterns linked to all that inside of all these souls. Now take a deep breath and watch. Watch those in the government that have slumbered begin to awaken to the light and the memory of union. And watch the grids that no longer serve melt away. And the light and the flame stay intact throughout the systems and around those who serve. And feel those who are ready to step into our circle do so. Take another deep breath and recognize you are the flame of grace. And you are blessed through all of eternity. So be it. And welcome back.
That's pretty cool.
I'm glad you liked it.
This is something you do how often? Do you do that, Joy?
I once a month, there's a conference call, and I just posted the date. It's going to be on the 21st this month at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time to 8:30, and we do it threefold. We do ourselves, we do a person, and we do the globe, and each time it's done, it's a little different because, you know, it's kind of channeled and Well, it is channeled. sometimes I have to laugh. So I offer it once a month. And I think, I don't know if I sent you an invite or not, but I'll make sure I do.
I think you might have. I do recall something, but I don't always look closely at the Facebook thing. But, you know, you and I talked about something like this whenever it was the last time we talked. Remember we had that thing where people were going to call in at a certain time on a certain date? This seems like an expanded, like you've expanded, you took what that was and you expanded it.
Yeah, well, this was just given to me. I didn't expand it. I had no clue what I was doing before. But I do know there are times I've really tried to get groups together, and this one has been going on a bit, and the group keeps growing. And I feel, like, really excited about that, you know, the words getting out, and the people that do it seem to keep calling in, you know. So that's a good thing. And I'm sure whatever I was doing before, this expands it, definitely.
Right. Well, I remember we had picked like a certain date. We said, hey, you know, everybody we should get together and focus our thoughts. I don't know if we actually called in or anything like that, but focus our thoughts at a certain time. Because that, I definitely can agree with you on, when I was talking earlier about what can we do to change things. We can't force things on others. We have to live it. But we also can come together if we agree that this is the way to go, and you certainly don't want to feel like anybody that is not comfortable with it should not approach it. But if we both agree, or all of us agree, that joining together as one force,
so that's what
is going to carry a lot more power in speeding up this change that we know is coming. It's just a matter of time, this change. Mm-hmm. Some people have said it's going to take hundreds of years. Some have said sooner. It's not going to happen overnight, is it, Joy?
We're in it. We're in it. It's not something we're waiting for. It's interesting.
No, but I'm saying,
I have a thing with the crows, and they're talking like crazy right now. We're in the shift now.
Yes.
We're not waiting.
I understand.
And that's part of the, yeah.
My point on it is that we keep thinking that there's going to be peace on earth tomorrow, and peace on earth is going to take a while to work out all the bugs, because we're talking how many billions of people. And there's the theory that when it reaches a collective, whatever that number is, that people will wake up in mass. Do you believe that as well, that many will just wake up in mass?
Yes, and I feel like that's what this flame called. What we do is we're creating a wave. And the strongest power on the planet is the light. So the light is manifesting in many different ways through different processes. And there are souls that, you know, some of us are living heaven on earth now, because vibrationally we're here to live it and to carry it and to co-create it. And so you're not in a state of waiting, but you're supporting the shift as it dies off. And I think we need to do that gracefully, you know, wherever we can. But I think, yeah, more and more souls are waking up. And it's interesting because I have a lot more new clients coming in, you know, and I think it's because people are waking up, you know. I do.
Well, absolutely. And I think we are going to continue to see this until there, and things will not get better until they get worse, because you can't step away from what we have and just go, okay, easy. It could be whatever we choose it to be, but sometimes the pendulum has to swing way the other side before it falls back in the middle. And I think that's what we're seeing, a lot of it, and how we choose to react to it is the biggest issue of anything. And if we remember, like you said, who we are and where we came from, and what's the worst thing that could happen, Joy? What's the worst thing that could happen?
Well, in the state of remembering who you are, you live as a co-creator here.
But I'm saying, what is the worst thing that could happen to any one of us physically? Right. We could no longer exist in a physical body. And if that happens, it's not the end of the planet, not the end of us, it's not the end of the... If our lives come to an end here, physically, our spirit is free. And many of us probably will serve in spirit at that point. So we always think with our animal instinct fear, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to survive? And if, and then we need to let go of that somewhat to truly get through this. We have to stop worrying about those fears.
Well, yeah, and it's not about surviving. It's about flourishing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're flourishing in your life, your vibration is sustaining the light that you are. And you're bringing that through. So no matter what's going on around you, some people, there's a lot of light workers I know that some people will look at and think, oh, they live in a world of lack, and yet these light workers feel rich. And, you know, I'm like in there. Somebody saw I live very simply, and yet, I mean, I know how to manifest from one town to another. I don't feel limited in abundance for the most part. It's not like I never have a moment, but for the most part, I don't. And I think that as you raise your frequency with that, you flourish, not just materially, but with love and with spirit and everything. And you realize there is no death. There's no death. You know, one of the things in the channeling work I've done that I've noticed over and over and over again is the frequency of a soul who's being born and the frequency of a soul who's dying is the same. It's the same because there is no death.
No difference.
It's really only a memory. In my experience, I have my brother, he's on the other side, and it's funny, he's sitting here now. Whenever I say his name, he shows up, it seems. And he smokes a cigarette and wears a long white dress.
A long what? White dress?
A long white dress, gown, you know, gown. You know how the angels wear gowns?
Oh, okay.
That's his thing, yeah. It's like, he does it, he'll go, because I can, like John Henry, he likes John Henry. So... He does. He loves John Henry. When I got trained with heart thread work, Tommy came walking in the middle of the class. But the point I'm trying to make is when you raise your frequency enough, even the souls on the other side are not separate from you. You can communicate with them. We all can. As a matter of fact, I do teach mediumship classes, and it's all about how to bridge death and to work with others. So when you say, what's the worst thing that can happen? Well, with some people, death is the best thing that can happen to them because they realize the magnitude of the fullness of who they are.
True.
And how they go on and on. I'm not signing up to die, by the way. I'm just saying with some souls, that's where they're heading, you know?
Right.
I personally feel in this life where I'm at, the best is yet to come. I really do. And I feel that's true for so many of us, you know. So even as things fall away, I want to encourage people to remember, just as the soul never dies, it's true of creation. So when something looks like it's falling away or it's not working on the earth, don't get discouraged.
No.
It means something new is being birthed, because birthing and death are simultaneous, always at the same time.
In order for things to change and truly remove, and some of you might think the old ways are good ways, and there were many good things, but there also were many limiting, controlling, enslaving things. And that is not a choice that Joy and I are making. It is a choice that all of us, our evolution on this planet at this time, it is something that we just know in our heart is coming forward. and we've accepted that. And I can't tell you how many different people I've talked to and interviewed. There's not like a school we go to learn this. I mean, we might have different classes and things taught to you, but people are coming to this on their own, knowing that there's something greater. I just see this from the different psychics and mediums and people in general that I talk to. They know there's something more, and they know that something is changing. And this is what I thought, getting back full circle to the election. People know this. That's why they were voting for Bernie Sanders. And some were voting for Hillary, and some were voting for Trump for that reason. I think a lot of people, because they were ready for a change. And some felt each candidate could offer that. So, and then some were hardline, and some wanted this and this and this. But I still see it as we are ready, the majority of us. And it's going to be, maybe it doesn't have to be as bumpy a ride. You're thinking maybe it might be a little bumpy. It might be. But maybe it doesn't have to be as bumpy.
I think that there will be a radical shift in the government, but I personally feel for a lot of us, we may not be affected by the magnitude of that because of being conscious and awake and looking at resources differently. I feel like a lot of us will flourish through these times. I really do. Mm-hmm. And I feel that'll become the voice that people will listen to. That's actually happening. It's interesting because outside of the government now, more than ever before, people are unifying. But remember, you know, we also have capacity. We have the capacity to catalyst shifts as we continue to go within and raise our vibration. Things like the flame of grace and that kind of thing, that affects the consciousness. It does in a very huge, real way. So, that's one process, and there are others, but I focus on this one because this is the one I'm working with. But I just want to say, when it looks like you can't find an answer on a practical level, on an earthly level, you go higher. You go higher. You don't say there isn't a resolution, because there is. There's always a resolution. So it's like I just want to inform people of that and give them hope and remind them that where you don't see an earthly resolution, that means you got to go higher. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And you have to, really, if you can develop just a great faith and belief that you will be taken care of. It's really about having faith, if you want to call it that, or knowing that things will come your way, you will be taken care of. When you get to that state of mind, I've even heard people say, and didn't Rosalind have something to do about this? Didn't she have a vision on this? There's actually going to be two worlds that we live in.
Well, that's what I said. Flo said it first in a channel. There's a world of fear, in the world of love, and the one you focus on is the one you live.
And the thing is, there really will be perhaps a physical separation of the two. People may move into what they're calling a fifth dimensional world, and I've talked about it on my show more than once. And those that continue to hang on to the physical and negative and fear will continue to live in that second, the world that many see as now as being the real world. And I've heard that said many, many times for quite a while. And I think there will be that somewhat, that we will see continuing shift. And then there's a potential that, do you think that we really will physically move away from all this other world completely?
Well, you know, I personally speaking, I feel literally like I experienced that in Thanksgiving. And I've been working interdimensionally throughout most of my life, but I felt like right after Thanksgiving, and I'm not the only one who felt it, I felt like there was a line drawn in the sand. That's what I felt. And I felt at that point people were making their choices. And we have these things called times of rendering, I feel that during times of rendering, there's mass amounts of people who choose to go and leave the planet. I do feel that we'll have something similar, like we'll have these periods where people will have a chance, the line will come again, and they'll choose. I feel like it'll consistently occur every so often. But during that time, from what I've seen, the levels of violence escalate just as that line. You can watch. You can feel it energetically. I have never felt the magnitude of energy that I felt like from the election to after Thanksgiving. I mean, there was a whole level of energy shift going on that, you know, and I'm, you know, I've been working with energy for a couple of days now, TJ. Yeah.
Really?
So,
really?
Yeah. So I felt it was really, really graphic. And, you know, like I said, though, I felt what it did was present a choice, because we have free will, you know. And I want to encourage people. I don't want to scare people. I'm just talking about how the energies seem to be working, and they can shift. They can shift,
absolutely,
you know, because everything can shift moment to moment. This is just the perception and some of the things that
what
I've
you're
experienced.
Saying, what you're saying right now is what I felt at one time before the election. But actually, mm-hmm. after the election, I felt a shift because I felt people were going to change and were going to demand and were going to stand up. And I guess I see it in a slightly different light, that we are going to hold these people accountable from here on out.
Oh, I feel that'll happen. I don't see that different. But what I saw in the people, I saw the line drawn, and I saw where the radical energy went, and I saw where the peaceful went, and I experienced both. Mm. Because I was with people that were committed to the chaos just as much as I'm committed to peace. And when it got exorbitant, I made a choice and removed myself. You know, I wasn't going there looking for that. That wasn't what I was looking for. I was looking for my dinner. But I literally stepped outside of it. And it was interesting because right after I stepped outside of it, I got calls from a soul brother who does peace work. And the next day I had Rosalind and her husband visiting me from Michigan who are committed to peace work. And the next day they took me to lunch. And then another friend took me to lunch who's a peace worker. So I literally saw the line and could see how the door was opening and what was sustaining. You know, it's very interesting. You can feel where your own vibration is and how fully you are committed to living it by who's around you too. Mm-hmm. What you draw to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
but I know our time is up,
right?
I
hate to cut you off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know it's hard for you to speak.
Thank you, honey.
It's hard for you to talk and speak because you can't, you know, you're not the type of person who likes to talk at all. So I'm glad we were able to work on that in this session and get that released, that energy that helped you move into that light where now you were able to chat a little bit.
Well, seriously, Jesus, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been delightful. And I really enjoy you, and I really honor your commitment to how you bring light and open people's hearts to peace and potential. And I want to thank you for all you do for the good of the whole, and bless you, even as I talk so much.
and the right back at you as well, and all that. And I and Benny and people that don't maybe haven't listened to us before, you can go back and listen to the show. She's got her own website, which this will be on as well, and you'll be able to link to all that. But Joy's been doing this work for a long time, so there's a lot there. We could go on and on and on. And she's been drawn to this, and she has many, many incredible gifts. One of the most incredibly gifted people I do know, with all these abilities, and she's helped me many, many, many times. And she's told me things that only those that have passed would know when we've dealt with spirits and stuff like that. So I believe in what you do. I always send people your way.
Yes, you do.
And I know your abilities are for real, and I know your intentions behind them. So that's why I'm glad to be a part of this with you. So thank you.
You too. Thank you for being my soul brother and all your support.
You're welcome. Right back at you.